Well, Merry Christmas. Y'all doing okay? Well, my prayer for you is that this Christmas will be a time of joy, a time of peace, and a time of greater, deeper, more meaningful relationship between you and the Lord as you consider his birth and why he came to be born. What do you want out of Christmas? What are your expectations? What are your fears? You know, what is it that would make the season, make the day joyful and satisfying to you and your family? Now, I know that's changed over the years. For me, when I was a kid, Christmas was all about school's out, Santa's coming. That's all I needed to know. And so, my mind was pretty worldly and pretty limited. But as I came to know the meaning of Jesus' birth, the true meaning of Christmas, my hopes and prayers took a big turn. Came to see the awesome significance of Jesus' birth, the promise of God in his sovereign time. Now we know that the birth and death of Jesus is the very center of time. Matter of fact, even the world acknowledges that his birth is the center of time, because time is measured in B.C., before his birth, before Christ, and A.D., Annus Domini, year of the Lord, for the years after he was born. Now, there's some people running around with this thing called common error, but it's not catching on, except among the scientific groups who are atheists. That's the only way that they're doing. But most people, you talk to anybody, most books that are written, most scientific treatise, will have B.C. and A.D. So as we look at it, we know that indeed there's a significance to this date. Well, when you look at it, God, he prophesied that it would come through Adam and Eve. In Genesis, he says, there will be a child that will be a great blessing to the world. Genesis 12:3 is really the beginning of our understanding of Messiah. In 12:3, Abraham is meeting God. And Abraham is telling God, God is telling Abraham, you are going to be a blessing. You're going to be a great nation or great nations. Actually, it's plural. And we know from today there are lots of great nations that have come out of the line of Abraham. But most importantly, he was told that through his descendants, the world would be blessed. Now think about that. You can be a blessing to your family. You can be a blessing to your friends. But are you a blessing to the whole world? That's pretty significant. And when you consider that it talks about the whole world for all time, indeed his birth is significant. Promise was repeated to Jacob, who was renamed Israel, that indeed to that nation and to the world would come a Messiah. And more importantly, what was he told? He was told that Isaiah was told us more about the Messiah, and what he told us about Messiah was this. Messiah was coming, and why? To be an atonement for the sins and iniquities of his people. Now I'm going to tell you what. If you were ever a kid and got in trouble and got that old wait till your dad gets home business, you were hoping that there would be something that would come and save you from the terror that was coming when Dad got home, right? Well, Jesus is saving you from the terror of God's wrath. And if you've ever read any part of Revelation, you know that God's wrath is something to behold, something to be avoided. And we are so thankful that our Lord has come to save us from that. And only through him can we be saved from the wrath of God for eternity. So, as we read further in Isaiah, we see that indeed he's going to be born of a virgin. He would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. All enhancements of our understanding of who he is. And of course we see that the Lord indeed was born, and we have that in the New Testament in Luke. So as we look at it, we see that... Let me get that. So Joseph was sent up in chapter 2, verse 4, says, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. But there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You can imagine that. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He's born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they went and spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, here's the thing. We talk about Christmas. We talk about what a joy it is to celebrate his birth. But here are the shepherds, the lowliest of people in Israel. They got the first word. They got the advance news. And they were told by an angel announcing his birth as a cause for great joy. Now, on the one hand, I think the shepherds were glad to hear the news that the Savior was born that had been longed for thousands of years. Just as for thousands of years we've been waiting for him to come back again, and he will. But at this time, the first advent, the first coming of Christ happened, and they saw it got a sense of what is going on in heaven all the time, and that is people praising God, praising Jesus, and worshiping him. And so the shepherds, what they did is important to us. So we need to consider that. What do they do? They have one responsibility. You got one job as a shepherd. What is that? Take care of the sheep. Well, they left the sheep in the fields and ran into town. And when they got into town, they saw Jesus. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. And they went all about town telling everyone all that they had heard. And the townspeople were just amazed. Now think about this. From what we understand in Scripture, Jesus was born like a lot of kids are. They're just not very convenient about when they're born. They're born at night, right? Especially early in the morning. And these shepherds came, and now they're running around screaming and yelling to everybody in town, "Wake up! The Messiah is born." Now, for thousands of years, they've been waiting for him. And what is your first thought if some people like the shepherds? I mean, who's going to know first? It should come from Jerusalem and from the king, right? From the royal court, that's where the news about Messiah should come from. But no, this is from the shepherds. But they are so, so eager to share the gospel, to share the good news that Jesus Christ is born, that they forgot everything else, and they ran into town and told everybody about it, and the people in town were amazed. I don't know if they were amazed that Jesus was born or amazed that these shepherds had given up their sheep and were in town yelling and screaming about it. Scripture doesn't tell us which way, but I expect that when you think about this, when we get to heaven, and that's going to be an amazing day, isn't it, when we get to heaven? And when we get to heaven, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be declaring the glory of God. We're going to be worshiping the King of heaven, and we're going to be more thankful than we have ever been in our life that we are in heaven with him and not facing the judgment that's going to face unbelievers. And Christmas gives us that hope. Christmas gives us that assurance that indeed we are going to be in heaven with the Lord. Why? Because God keeps his promises. And he kept his promise about the Savior being born, and he kept his promise through the life of Jesus and through his death on the cross that he indeed would save us from our sins. And we're wicked. Let's just face it. Look to your left and look to your right. There's nothing in this room but wicked people. However, well, there's nothing to your left and your right, I hope, but people who are saved, those who have confessed Jesus, who have acknowledged him, who have received him as their Lord, and expect that his death on the cross has saved them from their sins. Well, I think the shepherds really could be considered the first evangelists. Now, the interesting thing is they were unpaid evangelists, so that made them a little different than today's. But the bottom line is they were eager to share the good news, to tell the truth about Jesus Christ. They didn't have religious training. They hadn't been through seminary, didn't have any degrees behind their name. But they would tell anybody and everybody they could of what they had seen, what they had heard, and they were not afraid of how people would receive that testimony. Now, I'm afraid today that's something that we have to worry about, because people don't think they know how to share the gospel, aren't sure that people would listen to them if they did. But indeed, what does Scripture say but to be bold, to tell the truth, share your faith, and God and the Holy Spirit will do the work. So, I think you and I need to, while we're excited about Jesus' birth, we need to be as excited about Jesus' birth today as the shepherds were in their time. We need to be so excited about his birth that while we're in this time when people are receptive, after all, Jesus on the cross is a little scary to some people. But Jesus, baby Jesus in a manger, who doesn't go, oh, isn't that cute? You know, I mean, you've got even the world has Jesus in the manger in store windows sometimes. And so you know that sense of him being a baby, he's not threatening, but it's the beginning of the story. And it's the way to share, get people to listen to you, to share the whole story, the whole gospel. And we need to be as excited as these shepherds were in sharing the gospel and use this Christmas season, which is an opportunity to share with people who otherwise will not listen to us. This is also a time when you're going to have your family around you. Now, it's time to do an inventory. You know who in your family follows the Lord. You know who in your family professes faith. You know who in your family is desperately in need of a Savior. And it's a time to see if you can find an opportunity to share the truth with them at Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whenever your family gathers. Recognize that you've been appointed by God to share that gospel with them, and don't miss your appointment. Okay? Now, we have another story that's told at the time in Matthew chapter 2. And he says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, the rest of the story is that they're told where he is, and they come find him. And what does Scripture say? Scripture says that when they saw him, they were overjoyed. They bowed down, they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned not to go back to Jerusalem, they didn't. Now, understand this. Who are the Magi? Is this a bunch of Christians that are living out in the East and they suddenly said, hey, we got to go back and reconnect with our home church? Not at all. These are people who are from probably 1,500 miles away. They don't get to Jesus for approximately 2 years, if that'll give you some sense of how long it takes for people to travel from one part of the world to another. Let me ask you this. I know there are some of you here who work out, some of you here who like to walk. I see you out on the streets. Think about walking consistently for 2 years to see someone that you're not sure is even there. They're trusting, they have faith that star is going to lead them to someplace where they're going to meet the King of the Jews. They trust that they're going to find something at the end of their travels. Now, traveling these days is not like getting in a car. It's not like getting on a bus or a train or a plane. It's dangerous. Why? Because there's some people who make their living robbing folks who are traveling. There is no Holiday Inn. There is no Hilton. You just live on the road. And these three men were so dedicated to finding Jesus Christ that they spent 2 years looking for him. We were seekers at one time, people who sought to find the truth about Jesus Christ. We were seekers who wanted to learn about him and what he meant or could mean to us. And praise the Lord, we have received him into our life, and now we're no longer seekers, we are his. But these three men are an example of what is probably out there amongst the folks who are lost, folks who would like to know more about Jesus but don't know how to ask, people who'd like to know more about salvation but are afraid to ask, people who might want to know more about heavenly life and they just don't know how to ask. And guess what? You've been appointed in Matthew 28 to go and to spread the good news to all nations, all peoples around the world. But I think it's so interesting to me that we spend our time looking at Christmas and saying, okay, Christmas is what? It's a time to enjoy family time. It's a time to have a couple of good meals together. It's a time to attend some great parties and reconnect with old friends, things of that sort. But are we really focused on why we celebrate Christmas? Are we really focused on who Jesus Christ is and why he came? I mean, to me, one of the great mysteries of the Bible is that Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to earth. And not just come to earth. I mean, it would be one thing if he came down like the angels come down in glory and people are just awestruck with his coming. But no, he came and deigned to come as a man. And Jesus, indeed, he is holy man and holy God. And that's another mystery for us. But the fact is, God wants us to recognize what he has done for us at Christmas Day. And he wants us to be thankful. And he wants us to be joyful about what that means to us as believers. And he wants us, again, to share in love the truth about who Jesus is. Now, you know, the fact is that here we have these magi are not believers, but when they get to Jesus, what do? They bow down and they worship. How about you and me? When we come to Jesus, do we just pray whenever we are, wherever we are, sitting in our chair, walking around the room? I know some people prayer walk, and I have no problem with people prayer walking. But you know, if you think about who you are addressing when you pray, in Scripture I see more and more of people who are on their knees, prostrate before the Lord, worshiping humbly, knowing that he indeed is who? He's the King of Kings. He's your Savior. He is your Lord. And believe me, I get tickled with there's there's a Christian song you can hear on the radio. It's called I Can Only Imagine. And in his Only Imagine song, he says, what am I going to do when I see Jesus face to face? What am I going to do? Am I going to dance for him? Am I going to fall down and worship him? What am I going to do? And I would suspect that, you know, I suspect I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be on my knees because I'm so unworthy to be before him that it's going to be so apparent to me who I am versus who he is, that there's nothing that can be done except to worship. And that's what we're here to do today. And that's what we're here to do each Sunday, is to worship the Lord. But we shouldn't just worship on Sunday. We should be praying to the Lord, meeting him, and developing a greater relationship with him through his word and through prayer. And if we're not doing that, we're not growing spiritually. Now, I'll just tell you this. If the only time you spend in Scripture is on Sunday morning while somebody's teaching you or preaching about it, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that God has for you, and that is the blessing of his word. And you need to be in it, and you need to read it, and you need to understand it, and you need to talk with others about it. What a joy to visit with other Christians about things you've read in Scripture and wondering what you believe it means and what do they think it means. And you're sharing your faith. But you know, I think that we need to recognize that while the Magi did whatever it took over 2 years to get to Jesus, we're blessed by the opportunity not to have to do anything more than reach over and pick up a book, pick up the Bible. We can learn more in 30 minutes reading the Bible than the Magi could learn in all the time they spent seeking Jesus. What response have you had to the gift of eternal life that's in Jesus Christ? Having received Jesus as Lord is only the beginning of your journey with the Lord. How much time are you investing in His kingdom? He has given you a life, and He's given you 24 hours a day, however many minutes that is. How do you use it? Is it used watching TV, playing cards, golfing, doing whatever it is that you think is fun to do? Or are you spending that time investing it in serving the Lord and trying to draw closer to Him as you understand more about who He is? Jesus Christ was born to His eternal purpose to be a perfect sacrifice, the atonement for sin of those who've received Him as Lord. For you're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't earn your way in. You can't buy your way in. There's nothing else except Christ. He's the only door to salvation, and we need to be mindful of that, and we need to be willing to teach it. This Christmas, I pray that your family would enjoy the peace and the joy that you have as you bask in the Lord. And if you look at the glory that He sheds on us through His Word, and when we pray with Him, we're basking in the glory of the Lord. We need to think about who we're talking to and what an awesome experience that is, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to pray. That God, who created everything, is willing to listen to you. Now think about that. God, who created everything, and I'm going to tell you what. When I was a little bit younger, I used to look up with the telescope up in the sky and try to see and imagine how far out this business goes. I've seen pictures of what the astronomers show, what they have been able to identify as out there at this point. It doesn't begin to show all that God has created. And He is that powerful, and He is that awesome, and He is worthy of our praise and of our love. You know, we are blessed to have a Savior who was born for us, and recognize that He was born for you, and He was born for me. Are you worthy that the Son of God would be born to take care of you, to save you? No, we're not worthy. So what is our response to a God who has done that for us? It's love, it's respect, it's worship, it's obedience. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've not received Him in faith as Lord and Savior, today's the day to do it. You don't know that you're going to have tomorrow. The day to make the decision that will have eternal consequences for you is now. And if you'd like to come at the end of this sermon, if you'd like to come up and you'd like to visit with me or with another one of the folks who has a badge on, or meet some out in the lobby, we'll be willing to talk with you. But I hope that as you contemplate what Jesus did at Christmas, I hope it'll have a new meaning to you. I hope it'll have a new significance for you. I hope it will drive you year-round in your love for Jesus and your willingness to serve Him and to live an obedient life for Him.